Evening and welcome to KCEO Radio AM 1000. This is the 11th Hour Ministries coming to you live from the North County of San Diego, California. This hour is dedicated to worshiping our Lord in a great way, reading the Bible, and by way of reading the Bible, showing the Lord, the love that we have for Him and just revering Him. And we want to share a great family time together, reading the Bible, sharing the Word of God, and hopefully getting a message this evening that will change our lives forever by way of the Word of God in the Bible. And tonight I'd like to open with a prayer, which is, Father God, I ask that each person that has a radio right now or on the internet that can hear this, that God, you would super bless them, ears and eyes and heart and soul and mind and spirit, to be open to your word and your instruction. God, we ask that you would forgive each person who can hear this tonight, that you would forgive us for all the sins that we committed to this moment in time. We do know that we all sin and we all fall short, but God, you're so gracious and you're so merciful, and if not for your grace and mercy, where would we be today, God? And we're so thankful that you have given us the opportunity to read the Word, to share the Word. The Bible is such an awesome gift that you've given us. And God, I just ask that you forgive us, God, for all the times in our lives where we would be ungrateful, God, or take for granted all of the blessings that you've given us in our lives and all the times when there are challenges. And God, I ask that you help to shine the light into our dark and lost world. There's so much in our society that is going awry, and when people are, it's a direct result of how much distance we put between your word, God, and you, between ourselves and our spirits, that indicates how far this society has gone sideways and just starts to rely on people's opinions and the things that we do in our hearts that are man-made direction, God. So I pray tonight that each person would just open their hearts and minds and souls and spirits, and God, that you would bless this hour for all the people who are listening. Pray for all in the name of Jesus, our brother. Amen. Tonight, I'd like to start off with saying that we're going to be focused on God's faith and joy and love. And in our lives and in our world, we have the opportunity of making choices. God gives us free will. And the question is, what do we do with the choices that we've given, and where are we focused in our lives as far as God is concerned? Are we really paying very close attention to the signals that God is sending us? When we're in pain, do know that that's God calling. And here at the 11th Hour Ministries, we recommend that you answer the phone. We do call it keeping it real around here. One of the main focuses here tonight is that we are looking to become a new creation in the Word of God, through the Word of God, and develop a great love relationship with our God. I went to school in Catholic school back in way long back ago, and the way I was sort of trained to read the Word of God or go through the motions of religion didn't do a whole lot for me. But what I did learn as I grew up and became an adult is that really what God is looking for is not us going through the motions, and He's not looking for us to just show up at church every once in a while and check in on Christmas and Easter. And it's rather and actually an insult to our Lord is that our God wants us to have a relationship with Him as anyone would have in a loving relationship that they currently are in, or can look back on in a time in their lives when they had a great love relationship. Maybe it was with a partner, the way a father and son or parents love their children, or vice versa. You know, God really wants our attention, but He really mostly wants to share His love with us. He wants us to follow His commands and decrees. But I'm finding more and more the closer I get in my walk with the Lord, that it's really actually a joy to follow the ways of our Lord. all he's really asking us to do is to be good people, to have a great conscience, and to wear his love in this world. He wants us to perpetuate his direction in our relationships with others. And when and if we do that, it's the only way to truly have a successful human relationship on this planet Earth, is that when we apply the rules and the direction that God gives us, and the way he wants us to interact with each other, it's really clear that we become one-on-one with the Lord, but he will super bless any type of relationship that we're in. And mainly it's, of course, the relationship between ourselves and our God. And I would challenge each one who's listening this evening to say that, you know, what do you think your purpose on this planet Earth is? When I was a younger man, I thought that I was supposed to build a business and gain money and material things and develop relationships with people. And what I learned is that all those things are very important, and God wants to bless those things in our lives. But the most important thing, first of all, is that you have to develop a great love relationship with our God. And all the things thereafter will fall in place. And when I say you have to, it's a personal choice. God is calling. He wants our attention. He wants our love. And the question is, as I have said in the past, in my opinion, Dr. Phil, what a great program and a wise man he is. And I love what he says. How's that working for you? And the question is, in your life, is there anything that is out of kilter, or you're frustrated or struggling with, or financial issues or relationship issues, or, you know, things that make you feel weighed down, or a feeling of despair? You know, those are the types of things that God uses as a tool to keep us close to him. And so it's not by accident that we feel that we've gone into an emotional shutdown, or that we feel like we've lost our moral compass, or there was a time when I felt like I was getting ready to lose myself, and I didn't. That was a very scary feeling. Who are we, and what are we born and put in this world for? And God wants us to represent him on this planet and share his love. That's the most, that's job one in being part of this communities that we're in, or part of the world, frankly. If you feel like you've lost your sparkle, which once upon a time I did feel that as well, you lost your innocence or dignity. And I was living in anger and despair, and I was kind of desperate and reaching out to all types of worldly things, alcohol and drugs, and living in a great deal of anxiety. And then I just finally dropped to my knees and said uncle, basically. When I say drop to my knees, I just said uncle. I stopped trying to steer my own life. I stopped trying to be in control of all things. And then I wanted to seek greater wisdom. It's not that I just wanted to turn loose to some crazy Christian fanatics and let them take me away and join a cult or anything of that nature. It's that I was, you know, like I said, Dr. Phil says, how was that working for you? Well, in my world, it wasn't working for me. I was kind of felt like if it was an analogy would be that if I was driving a bus, I hit every single wall that I came near. I got flat tires and ran out of gas. And it was just, it was a struggle through finances and relationships. And I had a marriage that was not sound, and it eventually fell apart. And I've since changed my ways, read my Bible, and started to follow with glee, with joy, follow the word of the Lord, follow the commands of the Lord, because I do love God so much, and I'm eager to want to do good, because everybody wins in this case. And my life, it took some time. There's no easy way. It's kind of, the Bible talks about you will be refined like silver and purified like gold, and we know those get done by severe heat to get to that clean, you know, that pure state of silver or gold. But what God does is he processes us through these type of things, and he shows us why, and he puts events in our lives that are good, bad, and indifferent as far as our experiences in life are concerned. So once again, this is KCEO Radio, AM 1000. This is the 11th Hour Ministries, and we're coming to you from the North County in San Diego, California. And we would encourage anyone who's listening this evening, if you have a church that you're going to and you're not feeling that the real power of our Lord and the real power of the Word of God at that church, or if you are a person who doesn't even know the Lord or wants to know the Lord or wants to find a church that would help to get more insight on what all this is about, then we would super encourage you to take a look into the Lighthouse Christian Church of Oceanside. There's a great, great family of believers there. Pastor Mike and all the elders and the people that are involved in the church, all the volunteer work they do, and just a great gathering of people who have such an open heart for helping the community to be more positive. They're trying to clean up the mess that we've made of our lives and the mess that we've made of our communities by way of man turning away from God, turning to darkness instead of light. And I kind of look at it as like they're shining a big giant flashlight into the darkness at the Lighthouse Christian Church of Oceanside. They can actually, if you wanted to learn more about this particular church, that's where I belong and that's where I go. It's www.lighcc.org. And so we encourage you to take a look and give a call even to the church. You know, talk to some of the folks and see if you wouldn't want to take an hour out of your life and spend that hour on a Sunday morning just looking into what this mystery of the gospel is, the mystery of the Bible. We call it a 20th century application to timeless instruction. And the whole purpose for this is I was a man who was lost. And when I say that, I had a great deal of worldly stuff. I was king of the hill on the worldly level. I had all the things that I had set out to achieve in the world, and there was something missing. And that void or that hole in your heart or that hunger or that thirst that cannot be quenched by anything else, and it's guaranteed not to be able to be quenched by anything else, that's God calling. That's God tugging on your heart to turn to him and look into this. I see so many people one buddy of mine who says that the ocean is his God. And there are many different ways that people look at this perspective of what our God is and how God works in our lives, and I don't need God, or so many different angles that people come with. And it's my opinion that we have taken the Word of God, watered it down, slanted it, and basically eliminated it in some cases as the Pledge of Allegiance and things of that nature. And this is why we're watching our world crumble, because God cannot and will not bless disobedience. He's just not gonna. And so in the case of our lives, I challenge you to, if you think you know how your life should be run and things of that nature, I challenge you to look at the places where the void is that every single one of us without God would have. Stop and get real with yourself. Realize that, you know, your financial struggles, your relationship struggles, any type of internal battle that goes on inside of us, or discomfort or whatever you want to call it, is literally it's God opening the door for us to be able to share his love and feel his embrace. God just wants to give us a big old hug. It's like a kid. I felt like a kid with my knee scratched and sitting on the curb crying, waiting for mommy. And God came along and gave me a big giant hug and said, "It's okay, son. It's going to be fine. You just hang out with me and we'll make it all better." And how amazing that as a man to have given up my pride and my really, I guess pride is the main ingredient that I would be open to be able to listen to the Word of God, open my heart. I had a hard heart. I built a big giant Fort Knox around my heart. There was no way into the, over the Great Wall of China, or in our case, the border fence between Mexico and America. I mean, I had more soldiers lined up and there was no way over that fence, but yet that's where God was able to just help me level it, destroy that. Because what I've been able to do is to really develop a great awareness of our Lord and how and what he wants of us and how he works in our lives. And I have this question for you. Everyone who's listening, believer, non-believer, whatever walk you have in the world, what plan could we possibly make for ourselves better than God has made for us? Bible clearly says that long before we were born, God has already laid out his master plan for each one of our lives. I don't know if you're aware, but the Bible also says that that each hair on your head is numbered, and God knows what number each hair is. Our God knows us better than anything or anyone that could ever, even better than we know ourselves. When we confess, are we confessing to God for something he doesn't know? No, that's not at all what happens. When we confess, God's giving us the platform to cleanse our souls so we can be closer to him, because sin separates us from him. So he knows us so well, he's given us the ability to confess, although he knows everything we've done and even the things we'll do. And so what an exciting time it is to be able to get together with you folks on a Sunday evening between 7 and 8 here on at the 11th Hour Ministries and read the Word of God. We believe it's a miracle in motion this hour, because when we share the Word of God, it is literally God-breathed words. And so when we participate in listening and sharing his Word, it already is quantifies us to be involved in a miracle in motion. And so tonight I'd like to say that anyone who's listening who may have a prayer request or heavy heart or some type of a praise report, anything that's on your heart, we're gonna go ahead and open the phone lines in a little bit, and we'll ask you to call in here. But once again, we're here with the Bible. It's a new, bold, new Bible-based program where we call it Keeping It Real. It's a fired-up fellowship that we would like to have God develop a relationship with us so we can have an intimacy with each other, in our relationships with each other, that we can have an intimate relationship with our Lord. And if we break the word intimacy down, you can break it into segments, which is Into Me You See. And so what better way to have a great relationship with anyone than to open your heart and be vulnerable to them? That's what God wants. He wants us vulnerable. He doesn't want us to come in with a preconceived notion of what we think is right and things of that nature. So we're just highly encouraging you to help, listen, to open your heart and help to God to come into your life tonight. Open your heart and your mind and your soul and your spirit so that God can make, as his promises in the Bible, give us a new spirit, a new life, a new spirit, and a new life, that he will make you a new creation. And remember, how's that working for you? If it's working just fine, we figure here you'll be back for a retest once somewhere down the trail. But God will give you a new direction in your life if you're not liking what you're seeing. If you really want to change, you call upon God and he will bless that desire. Do you need a new outlook? Are you feeling down, weighed down by our world and all the things of our world? And what's ironic about it is all the same events, all the same things, tangible things, with every circumstance that is exactly as it is in your life right now, one simple decision made to turn to our Lord and to submit your life to him, and you will instantly have a new outlook, a new awareness. He will instantly give you new hope. He will make you whole again. He will fill you with his wisdom and knowledge to let you know why these events are taking place, whatever they may be, and even blessings. We have to thank our God for blessings. So when we find ourselves submitting to our Lord, it's an instant rearrangement of our lives, and it's so amazing. And well, that's what we're here to encourage. Remember, when you're down to nothing, God is up to something, you can assure yourself. And so what we'd like to do tonight is start with Jeremiah. And this is a very powerful scripture. It's Jeremiah 14. I'm sorry, Jeremiah 11. And this scripture basically goes along with what I've just been talking about, is that God says in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile." And so our God just wants us to turn. And the old saying, turn or burn. And believe it, it's real. God is absolutely calling for our attention. He wants his children to be obedient, just as parents in this world or your partner in a relationship, you want them to, you know, abide by proper behavior. Well, it's no different with God, and this is no joke. And he will be heard. He will be respected. And the Bible clearly says that God cannot and will not be mocked. And so I was living a lifestyle that was mocking God. And so when I turned from that behavior, and God asks for us to be self-controlled, and I was living a life of just looking for physical pleasure and things of this nature, and God will not bless it. And when I started to learn restraint from the things that I thought were pleasure and pleasing, and I started to turn to a life of self-control, I learned quickly that God would bless it and promises to bless it. And the things that ways that my life has changed since then are of biblical proportion. They're absolutely amazing. And so I'm so grateful for that. And that's where we come here tonight on the 11th Hour Ministries KCEO Radio. You know, we don't ask for your money here. This is an hour that is flat out covered by your host. My name is Mark. That's as far as we go with, I don't want any fame or fortune here. We don't ask for people's money. We would love to pass out a free copy of what's called the Bible Promise Book. Just visit our website at 11thhourministries.net, and we'd be glad to send you a free copy. But we don't have any sponsors, or we're not asking for your money. We're asking for your attention. We're asking that God send hungry people to listen to this word that he speaks in the Bible, not Mark's opinion, but the Bible itself, the true word of God. That's what does the work. That's the power. And you know, we're so grateful that the Lord gives us the ability to share this truth. There was no one in my life that I knew that could clearly and carefully instruct me into the specifics as to how to guide my life and to work my way through problems and issues and concerns and things of this nature. If there's a question in anyone's heart or mind, there's an answer for it in the Bible. And it doesn't matter what happens. Jesus is the answer to, or what he says, the Word of God has answers to every situation in our lives that we possibly could come with. And so tonight I'd like to read some scripture here on faith. And as we talked about, it's faith, joy, and love tonight. So there's a scripture about a centurion, and you may have heard this scripture in your lives, but just an amazing, amazing amount of faith that a man had in our Lord. And what is faith? Faith is belief that this is real. And the thing is that people struggle and wrestle with this thing called faith. And the irony of it is that I'm not ever feeling more intelligent than 60 people who wrote a Bible starting 4,500 years ago. It's thinking that I'm smarter than they are before I even read it and figure out what it says. And it's harmful for me to see where I once was and just not really bothering to open the book or read it. And it's a shame, because you need to, in faith, make that jump over that hurdle. And once you take that leap of faith and open your Bible and read it, the blessings that await you are phenomenal. And if you're listening and you've already done that, we encourage you to walk with our Lord, to share his love as he wants us to. And so we're going to go to Hebrews 1:1-1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So keep in mind that God wants us to come to him first. As it says in Jeremiah, you know, God very clearly makes his rules known. And what he says in Jeremiah is, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." And keep in mind, this is Jeremiah 29:12. "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity." So God clearly wants us to make the first move. That's all there is to it. End of story. Just do it. And, you know, like Dr. Phil, once again, how's that working for you? There's no one listening this evening that in their life doesn't have a place to have a more growth with our Lord, no matter what your walk is. And that's what's awesome about this, is because it's a never-ending, lifelong journey, walking hand-in-hand in the greatest love relationship there is. And so faith is such an important piece of this. And then what happens in our faith is that God will bless us with joy. When we'll never have real joy on this planet Earth with worldly things. It just can't happen. As a matter of fact, it's pre-designed to be exactly opposite of joy. There will be an emptiness. The promise from God is you will have an emptiness in your heart that can't be fulfilled by anything else but him and his word. So, you know, how long do we have to run and run and run and run and run? I painted myself right into a corner in life. I ran as far as a man could run. I tried everything there was to avoid what I didn't know was here to turn to, and before I had just nowhere else to go. And when I finally realized there was a book called the Bible, and what it truly means to us is that it's a love letter from God. It's our instruction. It's an open book test. I mean, he even made it an open book test. And so that's how much he loves us. And it's, ironically enough, after God blesses you with a new heart and soul and mind and spirit, and openness and soft heart, you're going to find that you have a relationship with God where you have fun with him. That's what this is all about. It's a great, awesome relationship of just like you would have in any joyful relationship that you have currently ever experienced. But enjoy, God says, "Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, O Lord. They rejoice in your name all day long. They exalt in your righteousness." That's Psalms 89:15-16. And then Psalms 118:15 says, Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. Psalms 4:7. You have filled my heart with greater joy than when their grain and new wine abound. So once again, you know, the scripture, it's there's so much here to share in the way of scripture with you. Then we're going to go to God's love, because after we in faith turn to him, and then we go, you know, God starts to show us the joy of turning to him. Then he will also share his love with us, and there is no greater greater love on earth. In Deuteronomy 7:13, it says, he will love you and bless you and increase your numbers. He will bless the fruit of your womb, the crops of your land, your grain, new wine and oil, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks, and the land that he swore to your forefathers to give you. Psalms 146:8 says, the Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down, and the Lord loves the righteous. Proverbs 15:9, the Lord detests the way of the wicked, but he loves those who pursue righteousness. Isaiah 62:5, as a young man marries a maiden, so will your sons marry you. You, as a bridegroom, rejoices over his bride, so the Lord God will rejoice over you. Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. And so in Hosea 14:4, I will heal their waywardness and love them freely, for my anger turns away from them. And then Jeremiah 32:41, I will rejoice in doing them good and will assuredly plant them in this land with all my heart and soul. And so we're just blown away by how awesome God is. Actually, we're going to open the lines right now. We have Arthur from Houston, Texas is on the line. Hello, Brother Arthur. Hello, Arthur. It looks like we may have lost Arthur, so we'll try to get him back on the line here. But going back to the scripture that we were talking about, the faith of the centurion. We were talking about faith here earlier, and the way this scripture unfolds is that the faith of the centurion. This is in Matthew 8:5. It's called the faith of the centurion. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him and asked for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home, paralyzed and in terrible suffering. Jesus said to him, I will go and heal him. The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve you to come under my roof. Imagine that. Lord, I do not deserve you to come under my roof. But just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man of authority and with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. I tell that one, come, and he comes. And I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, I tell you the truth. I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places from the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, it will be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed that very hour. And so God is clearly telling us in this scripture that by our faith in him, that he will do mighty, mighty awesome works. And so we deny ourselves that love of the Lord when we don't turn to him for his guidance and direction and submit our lives to him, frankly, and read his word and and learn to love it. I believe we do have Arthur from Houston, Texas on the line now. Hello, Arthur.
Hello there.
How are you, Brother Arthur?
I'm just doing fine. I'm sure enjoying what you're saying.
Well, you know, we're here, Arthur, tonight, as you know, to share God's truth and his word. And
yes.
What an exciting thing we have as a platform here, the radio, people listen on the internet, and you know, Arthur, this is a time that we are dedicating to trying to help just those around us learn what God can do in our lives and what He will do for us. But it's clear tonight our message is faith, love, and joy from God is just, you know, there's no greater joy, there's no greater love. And I assume, Arthur, that experiences in your life that you can certainly relate to all those different topics. And do you have anything you'd like to share with the listeners tonight on what has how God has brought you to learn about His love by having faith in God, what joy He's brought or what love He has brought into your life, sir?
Yeah, I sure do. I'm just thinking as you're talking, I'm thinking about down through life. Of course, these are tough times for a lot of people. There's a lot of people going through some really, really serious, difficult, frightening times, you know, losing their homes and jobs and everything else of the economy and everything, just besides the regular problems of life that all of us have to face, you know.
Indeed.
But I think in my experiences, I think back, I can remember years and years of having kind of a gnawing anxiety in the back of my mind, which is just fear. It was just kind of a fear of bad things happening, you know. And I think a lot of people have that same problem. They have a gnawing anxiety. They have a hard time really laying hold of faith. And one scripture that comes to me that I just looked up here a minute ago is found in 1 John, the 3rd chapter, 21st verse. It says, dear friends, if our conscience is clear, we can come to God with bold confidence. In the King James, it says, if our hearts condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. So one of the things, we have choices to make. We have to decide whether we're going to do our own thing or whether we're going to do what God wants.
Amen.
You know?
Indeed.
And when we don't do what He wants us to do, our conscience is going to disturb us. Everybody tries to get rid of a bad conscience, but there's only one way to do it that I know of, is to obey God and behave.
Amen. And here in Psalms 126, 5 and 6, it says, those who sow in tears will reap with joy, with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. And so ultimately God is saying that, you know, if we're the ones crying now after we turn to Him, we will come out with songs of joy. Shouts of victory. That's what Psalms 118, 15. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. And it's just amazing to God, you know, is so gracious, Arthur. Without God's mercy and grace, you know, we would just be living in a life of despair. There's no question. That's all there is to it. And in this world, you're absolutely correct. I was watching a program on Congo, one of these Discovery Channel programs or something, and how disturbing, and I'm not even going to go into all the events that are taking place there, but there's warfare there that currently, as we speak, where the men in these guerrilla warfare groups that are just small, out-of-control men doing man's will or man's works, they feel that if by raping the women in the towns that they go into, they gain more strength in their combat missions. And so they were literally bragging about how many women they rape. And the program also, then there were AIDS was being spread at a biblical proportion of rampant, you know, it's just rampant. There are children that are being made of these acts, and the children are being given AIDS from these type of things. And we live in a really dark, cold world. I mean, here in America, we got our little comfy cars and, you know, comfy houses, and shoot off to the 7-Eleven and get anything you want in 20 seconds. And, you know, keep in mind, this is keeping it real here at the 11th Hour Ministry. This is a dark and lost world. And even in our own country, how many people, they're talking about a food shortage. And I mean, how many people in our world, and the wasteful people that we are as Americans here, or how many people in the world that are wasteful, and there are so many people that have been put on this planet that haven't ever been given the proper the luxury of even running water or electricity. And do we pay attention to that? Are we trying to become part of the solution? Are we really searching our hearts and praying together as a group that the works of Satan on this planet Earth will be snuffed? Because it all boils down to darkness and light. And Arthur, one of the things about this program is that super challenge us all that are listening tonight, where the two or more are gathered, there I shall be, is to unite in prayer that God, we ask that you take Satan and put a chain around him and bind him and put a muzzle on his mouth, God, and blinders on his eyes, and close his shop down and let your light shine true in this world completely. Because, Arthur, I truly believe that it's time now that God is calling us all. We call it the 11th Hour Ministries because we say the call is now. I mean, this is the time. Either get busy with doing the right thing and turning to God and being on God's team and trying to pray this world back into submission and righteousness, or turn or burn. There are no in-betweens. And
fail in life too, and fail on everything you do.
Indeed. There's no success.
We can have God's provision, God's blessing for us if we'll do the things he wants us to do.
Amen. And he clearly says in Deuteronomy, I mean, there's so many places where, the covenant that God, talks about. But here's a perfect example of what you're talking about. Deuteronomy 30, prosperity after turning to the Lord. When all these blessings and curses I have set before you have come upon you and take, When all these blessings and curses I have set before you, you come upon you and take them to heart whenever the Lord your God despises you among the nations. And when you and your children return to the Lord your God and obey him with all your heart and with all your soul, according to everything I command you today, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where he scattered you. Even if you have been banished to the most distant land under the heavens, from there the Lord your God will gather you and bring you back. He will bring you to the land that belonged to your forefathers, and you will take possession of it. He will make you more prosperous and numerous than your forefathers. The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and your hearts of your descendants, so that you may love him with all your heart and with all your soul and live. And it clearly says, I mean, he's going to restore your fortunes.
But don't we live in a society here in America that sort of wants to do their own thing, and that they don't like authority too well?
Amen.
We don't like to bow to any kind of authority.
As standard manly reaction, that's correct. Yeah, and we're training Arthur. We're training our children by our example. You lead by example, and by our example of no self-control, we show our children how to misfire, how to our standard procedure of doing good things is disintegrating. God is what represents all good, and Satan is represents all things dark. The destroyer of all things good. Satan is the destroyer of all things good. And I think what our society, the trouble is that everyone's sitting around lethargically, I shouldn't say everyone, that's an inaccurate statement. The ones of the people, even the most hungry, even the most hungry Christian, we're sitting, are we doing enough for God's team? Are we trying to show by example, lead by example, to show what a godly husband looks like? The Bible clearly tells us what a godly husband looks like. The Bible clearly tells us what love is. And when we go on our own thoughts or interpretation of those things, it's misleading if it's not exactly according to the word of the Lord. And so what the Bible does is it takes us to our, sitting by waiting for God to come and zap us with a magic wand and change the world. But, I just want to be I'm going to sit on the sidelines and I'll be a spectator for all this. That's not at all what God wants. And we really need those who are listening tonight to gather together in His name and to start to show changes by way of self-control and learning how to, what God wants of us, to show great example so that we can take this world back from this lost and all the despair that's in it. Bible here in 1 Corinthians is very clear what God calls love and how He outlines it. And I didn't know what love was, Arthur, until I actually read this scripture. And I challenge anyone in a love relationship, in any type of relationship that they're in, to match these words to your behavior and see how accurately it applies in your life. And this is 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails. And isn't it amazing, Arthur, is that just that one scripture alone, love keeps no record of wrongs?
Yes.
Does that sound easy? Does that sound easy to do, Arthur? Are we a society that's keeping no record of wrongs in the case of, our partner? And the Bible clearly says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Now, when God is saying these type of things, this is His way of promoting goodness. Bible says that all things work for the good of God for those who believe. And the key is that in a relationship that you're trying to make work and you're trying to, make successful, and as long as you're keeping a big, giant black book list of records of wrongs, you're not living according to the words, the words of our Lord, and you'll fail. It'll struggle and sputter until it falls apart. Amen?
For sure. Yes, no doubt about it. It's amazing.
And so, our God is just so awesome. What he wants, Arthur, I think, is that God wants the promise through the Bible is that He wants to give us a new spirit. He wants to give us a new direction in our lives. I mean, how many people, as I was talking about Dr. Phil, how's that working for you? I mean, without God, it can't be working for you. That's what we know. There's either an emptiness, there's a pain or an ache or a desire. Maybe, I wish I had a great, people walk through the, I used to walk along in the mall and I'd see this little family walking along, a husband and a wife and two children. And, I thought to myself, and they looked happy and, it was just something that I was just, it hurt me because I didn't know how to go there. And the thing is that, we always hear these stories about, what it looks like from the outside, the neighbors, you never know what goes on behind closed doors, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, no, that's not true. We do know what goes on behind closed doors if we know that those folks are walking along according to the word of the Lord, and we know that God's blessing them.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
of course, the big thing about that scripture that you just read there, that's an impossibility for us to do in our own flesh.
Amen.
That's why when we let Jesus into our life, when we accept Him into our life like you did a few years back, what a difference it makes.
Amen.
All of a sudden, you can begin to do things and have attitudes that you couldn't have before.
You're absolutely correct.
You did not have the power to be. That is some kind of a menu there.
Well, and, and the wisdom. The Bible clearly says that when you turn to our Lord, you will have all the wisdom that ever was and ever will be at your fingertips, open book test. And it's only when I read the scripture, Arthur, that I learned what I was doing wrong, because my love was not patient. It wasn't kind. You know, this is on, I mean, I was patient and kind to the degree that I wanted, that I felt was acceptable. So it was the rules according to Mark, right? And so, yeah, I was as patient as Mark wanted to be. I was as kind as Mark wanted. And, and my pride, it's sad to look back, actually. I feel like I shamed myself and our Lord when I look back into my old, you know, my old ways. But, you know, rude. I mean, how many people argue with each other and curse and things like that? I watch these TV programs where, you know, people just don't realize that our children are geniuses. People think, you know, oh, they're only 2 years old or 4 years old or 6 years old. They don't really know. Well, the irony of it is that they're the ones who have just come from total care of God as an infant. And the older they get, and I'm just going to keep it real, the dumber they get by way of God's direction and guidance, because they're becoming more worldly. And the part of this whole thing is the process is God wants us to come into the world, experience the world, and then turn from the world. And yeah. So, you know, there's people that are just, you know, they argue and fight and bicker in front of their children. And
over nothing.
And the thing
over,
about it is...
Over nothing.
Over nothing.
Not important.
Well, things that aren't, you know, in the end, what would it mean, you know, a year later or 5 years later?
Yeah,
kind of
right.
Thing. And... You know, they're writing, just like Dr. Phil says, writing on the slate of these children's hearts, and they're actually, you know, doing more harm to the little ones. And so that's where we were talking about that they have to set a great example. My wife and I have been married 6 years as of last mm-hmm. week, and mm-hmm. there are two instances, I think only one that I can do that really got huffy, where I got huffy, but we made such a conscious effort when we got married to make God the center of our relationship, and we made a vow that we would never argue in front of our children, we would not raise our voices, and we've stuck to that like glue, and our children know nothing but love and secure. They're well-adjusted little people, and you know that doesn't happen by accident. It happens by self-control. It happens by actually reading your scripture, and when it says love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it's not proud, it's not rude, it's not self-seeking, and it's not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. We apply those, and it's hard. Try keeping no record of wrongs for, you know, a week or two, or you know. But what it is it's just like anything else. If you're going to go to the gym and you're going to start a regimen of exercise, you know, the first 2-3 weeks you're going to get hurt. You'll be hurting. You'll be going home, all your muscles will be aching, everything's, you know. But what about the results that come of it after you start to see the results? Then, just like as the same philosophy is, when you see that you've lost a few pounds, you know, that's then it's sort of nuclear energy starts to self-perpetuate that you want to be back in the gym. And so you see a little more weight go down, or you watch the muscles tone coming in, and then it gets exciting. It's the same scenario with God. He wants us to turn to Him, learn His precepts, and apply them, and the blessings will come beyond that. Everybody wants, you know, isn't this a society, Arthur, where what have you done for me lately? You know what I mean? I mean, everybody on this planet seems to be looking for, you know, something for nothing, or where did you, when are you going to fix it up for me? You know, they want others to, it's just like, gaining wealth, any wealth that comes, easy come, easy go. But if you're going to look to build a business or any type of wealth in your life, how does it work? You go out and you work and you work and you work for little reward. I like to talk about it as a pendulum. When I started my business, it was 10 units of effort for zero reward. I would knock on people's doors and ask them if I could be of service to them. And then it turned from 9 to 1, 8 to 2, 7 to 3, in my amount of effort per reward. Then it was 5 and 5. That wasn't so bad. Then, you know, it's turned to, so, and God will have the same, it's the same pendulum effect. You give it all first, and he starts clicking that pendulum down as we.
It's just obvious. It's obvious to me, knowing you for a number of years, Mike, that God has blessed you and so just wonderfully, wonderfully. I mean, I've got Christian friends that don't listen to the Word, don't believe God, and they got their own opinion, their own ideas, and they are floundering through life, and nothing is working out for them.
Amen.
Miserable, they can't even keep a job, notwithstanding start a business.
And then they want to know why. Then they walk around wondering why. Oh, woe is me.
It's wonderful to have Christ in us, but we got to start listening to it and reading the Word and finding out how He wants to live in us.
Well, and it's clear that God wants us to, you know, go on to do His works. I mean, the one thing about, you know, what we shouldn't be kidding ourselves as a society to realize is that God's not playing with us. This is not a game. He wants us to work toward the goal and to continue to strive for doing His works.
We need to take it seriously. We need to take His word seriously.
Amen. And to apply.
Be sober-minded. Some people are laughing their way through life and right into hell, you know?
Indeed.
Taking nothing seriously. They should be learning some lessons, and they should be taking it seriously, and they should change their attitude and their attitude and their outlook on life. Wouldn't you say?
Without a question, excuse me, Arthur. There's no doubt, and you know the main ingredient is that God wants us to learn the Word. He wants us to focus on the Word, and to apply the Word. And you know, there's no in between. There's no question that our Lord.
My path, a lamp on the path, and light on my feet. Thy word.
Indeed, indeed.
Indeed.
And Arthur, listen, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to ask you to pray for all the people listening tonight. We're about 3 minutes left to go on the program, and we have another call in from my nephew, actually. Jay is on line two here. So, Arthur, do me a favor. Continue to be an awesome, godly man and a beacon of light in our lost world. We love you with the love of the Lord,
I'm off right now, and God bless you.
You're doing great works in His name, and He loves you, and so do we here at the 11th Hour Ministries. And we always love to hear from you, so we'll be talking to you again soon.
All right.
And thank you. God bless, sir.
Yes, thank you. God bless you.
And so we have Jay on line two. Hello, Jay. How are you, sir?
Hello, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing well.
I just wanted to call in. I usually listen to the whole program every Sunday, and, you know, I was a little tired this Sunday, and I caught the last half, but I just want to let you know that you're doing an awesome thing in this world, and the Bible says that the prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effective, and I know you know that, and my prayer is that your program cuts the heart of some people and makes some hard hearts soft and changes some lives.
Amen, Jay. You know, this is, I'd like to share with the listeners here is Jay on the other line is a nephew of mine who 19 years old, and what an awesome, awesome, awesome young man that we have on the line right now. Jay's been here with me with the first 11 sessions here at our in our ministry, and so this evening I chose to come to the program and let Jay hear from the house what the program listens what it sounds like. So it would be the first time that this young man has been on the radio with me here, but this is a moment that I've been waiting for eagerly. And Jay, I just want to say that, you know, in your young years, the fact that you've been willing and able to turn to our Lord and open up your life for His works and how much you love Him, and to see how much He's blessing your life is a privilege, sir. If young people would take this to heart, the Bible and the Word of God and the way He wants things done on His terms, and see what He's doing in your life to bless you, this world is based on that. It is a better place because of you, and what an exciting thing it is.
Amen.
And so we'll be looking forward to Jay now being able to listen up on, speak on the radio program with Uncle Mark next week. But we're running out of time here, sir. So God bless you, Jay. We love you with the love of the Lord, sir.
Thank you. God bless you, too.
11thHourMinistries.net, Lighthouse Christian Church of Oceanside. This is KCEO Radio, AM 1000, sharing the Lord's love, and I hope you got inspired by tonight's program. God love you, God bless you, and be safe. Bye-bye.
KCEO, Vista, San Diego.